bow. And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour, brought to you by Columbia and Epic Records.
You don't have to look at pictures on the radio.
Why do they send you here?
It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
You drove up by Philly Putty.
Bring this yoga on the ground.
Or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio.
Lunchtime.
You can shave or wash your hair while our show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we'd still be coming through. You can stay in bed and you'll find we don't care at all. Just as long as you keep listening to the radio.
Tell it to the Bugle Corps.
Oh, yeah.
Save a smoking reefer on the radio while we're reading, eating cookies, and you never know.
We could tell you we look great when we're really overweight.
You can get away with so much on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell them what you look like on the radio. Because if they never see you, then they'll never know.
It doesn't matter if you ask me,
because they'll never know exactly
what you look like when they listen to the radio.
Yeah.
R-A-D-I-O television. R-A-D-I-O
wearing blenders.
R-A-D-I-O
or vacuum cleaners.
R-A-D-I-O
you get the picture.
R-A-D-I-O.
Thank you, Martoni.
Good evening, I'm Michael O'Donoghue, and this is the National Lampoon Radio Hour. Now, we have quite a funny show for you this evening. You know, I think, and it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, we have something totally remarkable tonight. We have a new song by the Beatles. And by the Beatles, I mean John, Paul, Ringo, who am I leaving out? George, singing together just like they used to. Now, this is really going to happen. I mean, I don't want to do a whole, you know, Jerry Lewis all kidding aside number, but what you may well ask is, why did Apple Records want to break a new single on a comedy show? I have no idea, but I do know this. As for our part, even though this is totally out of our humorous format, when you get a chance to break a new Beatles single, you just do it, and I don't care if the show is celebrity bowling. So, well, I'll tell you more about the show later, but right now I would like to thank the following people at Apple Records: Malcolm Carroll, Jim Broadhead, Paul Klingon, I can't pronounce that, Klingon, and Dale Lee. We'll be right back after a commercial.
We've been busy all year in the old workshop, making goodies for every girl and boy. Bob Dylan's new album, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, with the hit Knocking on Heaven's Door, Isaac Hayes' Joy, the new Riders' Panama Red, the Neil Diamond score for Jonathan Livingston's Seagull, Dave Mason, It's Like You Never Left, Andy Williams' Solitaire, Buddy Miles, Booger Boss, and from my Philadelphia workshop, the OJ's Chip Ahoy, and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Black and Blue. Elvin Lee and Mylon, On the Road to Freedom, Barbara Streisand and Other Musical Instruments, Poco, Crazy Eyes, Mott the Hoople, and Loggington Messina, Full Sail. Yeah. Merry Christmas and a jolly good record collection to you all. From Columbia, Epic Enterprise, Philadelphia International, and Santa.
These albums available wherever fine records and tapes are sold.
Audio Unlimited presents Melonhead.
Oh, my God, it's so big. So that big old was his name, and I called him very stupid because he was so lame. And I kept him on the carpet, and I kept him in all day. But Mommy let my beagle out. Yes, Mommy let my beagle out. She also threw our carpet out, 'cause beagle made all day.
You cannot make a mistake when you buy stereo equipment from Audio Unlimited. Audio Unlimited offers the most comprehensive fire protection plan in the business, including meeting any legitimate price quotation. Before you buy any hi-fi equipment, please visit one of the seven locations of Audio Unlimited: 3rd Avenue at 28th Street, 3rd Avenue at 79th Street, 16 West 45th Street on the second floor, and 116-37 Queens Boulevard in Forest Hills, 711 Fort Washington Boulevard in Fort Washington, 354 Great Neck Road in Great Neck. Audio Unlimited, beware of imitations, please.
Oh, Jane, I feel so run down lately. You know, no pep, irregularity, nagging headache. Some mornings I just don't feel I can face the world. And last night, my Ted said I'm no fun anymore. Jane, isn't there something I can take to relieve my symptoms and feel my old self again?
Afraid not, Madge. What you've got is an advanced malignant tumor of the brain.
Camera Club of the Air, phone in photo contest. Hello.
Hello.
Speak up, please. You're on the air.
Hello, is it the Camera Club of the Air?
That's right, sir. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
This is the phone-in photo contest?
Sir, this is the phone-in photo contest, and you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I was calling. I want to submit my photograph in the photo contest.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the radio.
Can I describe my photograph?
Yes, sir, that's the whole idea. Our judges are standing by to hear your photo and see if it's eligible for the grand prize.
Oh, yeah. My photograph is 8x10 glossy.
8x10 glossy.
Natural light.
Natural light, very good.
And it's in the human interest category.
Human interest, right.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, you still there? I don't hear nothing.
Yeah, yes, sir, go ahead. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. I hear you again. My photograph is in the human interest category.
Yes, sir, a wonderful category. Can you describe for our judges what the photograph shows?
Two old ladies eating pizza.
What's that, sir? Could you...
Two old ladies eating pizza. It's a close-up of these two old ladies. They're eating pizza.
Sir, I see our panels of judges shaking their heads. It doesn't sound like your photograph quite has what it takes to be eligible for a prize.
Well, if you could see it, is there just something about it?
Sir, our judges have very good imaginations, and I'm sure that if your photograph had any exceptional qualities, they'd know it. But just two old ladies eating pizza.
Well, you picked that one guy's picture for the grand finale, and he said it was a nude and an unmade bed. I mean, how can you tell? Maybe it was a crummy photograph.
Sir, the decision of our judges is final, and I'm afraid we're just about out of time. We have other callers waiting on the line.
And what about the one with the guy diving off the Empire State Building?
Sir.
How do you know I wasn't even in the focus?
Sir, do you know anything about photography?
What?
I said, do you know anything at all about photography, sir? Anything at all?
Yeah, I do. I know a lot.
Then you must know, sir, that the camera doesn't lie.
What was that?
I said, you know that the camera doesn't lie. You know that much about photography, don't you?
Sure, I know that.
Well, now, aren't you just a little bit ashamed of yourself for saying those things?
Well, maybe I didn't cut away a little bit there.
That's all right. That's quite all right, sir. Try again. Our phone-in photo contest is open to all entrants, and I'm sure our panel of distinguished judges will be glad to listen to another photograph just as soon as you call it in.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening, and thanks. Good luck.
Thank you. Hello, Camera Club of the Air, phone-in photo contest.
When the lady requested long live for. Hello, sir. May I come in? I'm from the Daily News, and I'm interviewing people to get some public opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. I'd like to ask you, sir, don't you feel that it is indeed time for us to stop wallowing in Watergate, for the press and the media to leave President Nixon free to pursue the pressing domestic and international issues that so sorely need his attention? And do you feel that the whole subject of Watergate has become grossly exaggerated?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. Your name, please?
Joe Roach.
Thank you, Mr. Roach. May I use your phone?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, City Desk. I have another interview for you, Bob. Mr. Joseph Roach says, quote, he feels that it is indeed time for us to stop wallowing in Watergate, for the press and the media to leave President Nixon free to pursue the domestic and international goals that he set out for himself in his first and second.
In the cradle of King Creosote, monarch of the coal tar distillates, King Creosote, man's silent ally in the age-old struggle to stem the evil tide of wood rot, to preserve our American heritage of fences, utility poles, and dust piling for future generations yet to come. King Creosote. A railway tank car speeding through the rolling plains of Ohio with its precious cargo of coal tar. Here is where the romance of creosote truly begins. Another tank car, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another. The farmer waves a friendly greeting, for King Creosote is his ally too. Now, look out, Farmer Jones. But no time to stop and clear the carnage now, for King Creosote has a date with destiny. Night settles over Gary, Indiana, Creosote's iron citadel, and the train's long journey is over at last. Here on this specially built siding, longer than the entire railway system of San Marino, the tank cars disgorge their coal tar into the thirsty mouths of giant hoses, drinking through the long Indiana night like some mighty monster of old. A coal tar cocktail whose total volume is enough to supply every living American with a 12-ounce tumbler of coal tar. Drink on, giant hoses, while the watchman spans his vigilant guard. What is he dreaming? We can only guess and wait for dawn and the unfolding of the next chapter in our industrial drama. Dawn, then morning. Old Sol rises over the world's largest creosote refinery and its satellite building. Ladies in waiting in the Royal Court of Creosote. The drainage station, the ammonia storage tanks, the sludge pit, the feeder pipes, the bagging chest, and looming from the surrounding man-made wasteland like some magic fortress built by the gods themselves, the Creosote Refinery. But no time to dawdle, for King Creosote is planning a busy day. Here in the purifying station, 4 million gallons of coal tar pour into these giant ladles every minute of every working day. Ladles heated to temperature hotter than the sun itself. The skilled ladle handler must move with care in his fireproof metal suit to avoid being burned to a crisp by the heat from this fiery cauldron. One false step and... But no use in screaming. The human voice is drowned under this Niagara of molten coal tar. Reluctantly, we leave the confusion in the purifying station, for now it's puddling time. Puddling, the scientific alchemy that breaks down the molten coal tar, trapping impurities in these massive iron barrels. A miracle of precision timing fills each barrel to an exact preset level. One extra teaspoon, and the barrel would brim over, leaking poisonous runoff through the entire puddling station. A hypnotic spectacle. Dip and fill. Dip and fill. Dip and... But the rescue squad is already on its way. And before the rising liquid can engulf our camera crew, we bolt the iron safety door behind us. The pulverizing mill. Here is where the creosote dream begins to find its chemical fulfillment, where aromatic hydrocarbons are passed through pipes larger in diameter than the funnel of an ocean liner, and then brought here to these giant trays, heated once again and tortured in this mighty egg beater. Now, only an oily brown liquid remains. The embryo of King Creosote has been conceived. Lunchtime. A moment's pause. Now, back to work. But an informal moment as the foreman makes his rounds of the tank room. A monkey wrench on the floor. Time to laugh, even under the eye of King Creosote. But now, time to pick up his paycheck and get out. The final mixing process. Here in two separate vats, each large enough to contain the state of Rhode Island, only an expert can determine which is the runoff and which is the precious creosote extract. Is it the vat on the left or the right? A second opinion is called for. Now a third. Telephone line. The wires hum with the urgent appeal. Soon, Gary, Indiana will be crowded with experts heading in from all over America. But we cannot wait. And so we look back in awe at the iron cradle of King Creosote. Standing tense, waiting, ready at a moment's notice to start up again. But even when stilled, the smoke rolls black and oily from her chimneys. A farewell banner as we bid the monarch of coal tar distillates a fond adieu. Let us linger a moment longer to ponder man's wizardry and the ball of orange fire growing, growing, growing like a planet in creation. But now, the falling chimneys and the fireworks display to shame the 4th of July signal in a fitting climax that it is time to leave. Farewell, King Creosote, and to the fire department, Godspeed.
I'll tell you what burns my tail, you know, pardon my French. It's all these Indians whining about how they didn't get a square deal, blah, blah, blah. Of course, the real story on the Indians, and it's all in the book, is that they were brought over here in the 1830s and 40s to work on the railroads.
I always thought that they were here before we were.
No, no, no. That's a lot of liberal hogwash, although you'd be surprised at how many people believe it. No, you see, the railroad companies were looking for cheap labor to build the tracks across the West, so they brought over these Indians, just like they brought over the Irish and Chinese for the same purpose.
They came from India?
Malaya, actually. There was a civil war there. The so-called Indians were actually Malayan refugees, but the American press of that time made a mistake, referred to them as Indians, and the name stuck. It's just one of those little flukes of history. Anyway, like all these other immigrants, and I should include here also for the sake of comparison, the Germans and the Italians and the Jews, who like the Indians, immigrated here in the 19th century. And like all these other nationalities, the Indians went wild once they got over here. They're very, very strange behavior, bizarre things they did. They took to running around half naked and wearing feathers in their hair and painting themselves all over different colors and whooped and did rain dances and God knows what. They didn't mix in. They didn't become part of the great American melting pot. But when you second and third generation Irish were becoming cops and politicians and whatever, making sure their kids got a decent education, the Indians were still wearing moose teeth around their neck. I mean, you probably think I made that up, but it's true. They actually wore moose teeth around their neck. I mean, it's small wonder no one wanted them living next door. So finally, of course, the government had to step in and set aside special land for them to live on, where they could act just as weird as they wanted to and not be a nuisance.
I had no idea.
Now, you see, now, century and a half later, they wised up, begun to dress like real people and behave themselves, want to get back into construction work. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a little late.
And you've written a book on all this called Super Chief by Martin Kochler, published by Orion Press. Where did that title originate, Martin?
Well, you probably recognize that as the name of a train, and this train was so named by the National Association of Railroads in belated tribute to the thousands upon thousands of Indians who came to this country and helped to build the railroads.
Okay. The switchboard is lit up, and I'm
Excuse me. I just want to mention one thing. There was this tribe, as they like to be called, of Indians who settled up in Oregon near the Klamath River, and they used woodpecker scalps as money. No, but I'm serious. I mean, you think beads are bad. Woodpecker scalps, good Lord, what's on their minds?
It's
you know,
incredible.
It's all in the book. I'd like to see what Marlon Brando would say if some Hollywood movie producer paid him off in woodpecker scalps. I think that might change his tune a bit.
Well, you know? I don't doubt it. Well, I'm sure our listeners have many questions to ask you, so why don't you put on your headset there and we'll go to the phones.
Sure thing.
Okay. Hello, you're on Speakeasy. Oh, I'll try another one. Hello, you're on Speakeasy.
Good evening, Dan. I have a question for Mr. Kohler. I always thought
that... Kohler, ma'am.
Right. I always thought the Indians were here before anyone, that they were the first Americans.
That's a common mistake, as I mentioned earlier.
See, the way I understood it, the Indians were here, and then they brought over the white man as slaves. They would sail over to Europe in these huge slave canoes and trade tobacco and stuff for white men and women and even children.
That's one of me.
Yeah. And then they'd sail back here with their human cargo and put them to work, tending the corn and gathering birch bark and building mounds. The reason I know all of this is that one of my ancestors was a slave of the Iroquois. He was a Huguenot, you see. And in the 16th century, the Huguenots were all rounded up and sold to the Indians.
I see.
Yeah. Well, he and his wife, they were separated and never saw each other again.
1 bronze, 2 bronze, 3 bronze Americans, 4 bronze, 5 bronze, 6 bronze Americans, 7 bronze, 8 bronze, 9 bronze Americans, 10 bronze American women.
Mr. Brando, I understand that you refused your Academy Award because of your sympathy with the Indians. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And most of your energies are now devoted to helping the Indians, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I spend most of my time now.
Well, now, could you tell us why you believe in expending so much of your efforts in aiding the Indian cause?
Well, for one thing, because of the way the Indians have been treated in this country. I mean, you go out to the reservation, and you see how they live. They live like pigs. And I mean, because it's the only way they can live. It's the only way the government will let them live. That's one of the reasons. Of course, there are other reasons.
What are some of the other reasons, Mr. Brando?
Dark meat. Boy, I love that stuff.
Beg your pardon?
Dark meat. Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brando. Are you inferring that the...
Those Indian squaws, boy. They look like bunnies. Boy, you get one of them squaws, and I'll get the hell out of you. You know, I tell them to do it. I tell them to take these two fingers and cut the fingernails off and stick them up my ass. I tell them to a pig and to eat it and vomit.
The Spangled Dwarf in his bow tie. The infantry that don't ask why.
Hi, I'm Bob Dunn. Remember those fabulous 60s? The marches, the bands, the draft card burnings, and best of all, the music. Well, now Apple House has collected the finest of those songs on one album called Golden Protest, performed by the original artists who made them famous. You're thrilled to Society's Child by Janis Ian, Pleasant Valley Sunday by the Monkees, What Have They Done to the Rain by the Searchers, In the Ghetto by Elvis Presley, Silent Night, 7 o'clock News by Simon and Garfunkel, and who can ever forget this all time classic. Yes, Barry McGuire's immortal Eve of Destruction. And of course, my own Masters of War, all for the incredibly low price of $3.95. And if you order now, you'll also receive a treasury of acid rock featuring Vanilla Fudge, Blue Chair, Frigid Pink, Moby Grape, The Electric Prunes, Jeff Sampling, Lothar and Hand People, to name but a few. Plus, as part of this special limited offer, you also get the best of the supergroups with Traffic, Cream, Blind Faith, Ginger Baker's Air Force, and many, many others. Yes, this is a collector's dream, Golden Protest, plus two fabulous 60s albums, all for only $3.95. If you were to purchase these selections separately, they'd cost you hundreds of dollars, and many cannot be found anywhere at any price. Well, it's time for my boot heels to be wandering. But here's something that'll tell you how you can get this amazing record package.
Here's how to order this amazing record package. Just send $3.95 and check your money order, plus your name and address, to Apple House, Box 70K, South Bend, Indiana. Once again, that's $3.95 and check your money to Apple House, Box 70K. Do it today.
Starting today until Sunday, the Parker
Olympia Theater, located at the corner of Grove Street and MacArthur Boulevard, is proud to present the Ryan O'Neill story. This critically acclaimed retrospective highlights the most memorable scenes from the work of one of the American cinema's most respected young actors. Showings will be at 7:30, 7:32, 7:34, 7:36, 7:38, 7:40, 7:40.
This is the National Lampoon Radio Hour. For a moment that we know everyone out there in Radioland has been waiting for. Because it's a very special moment. A moment when we reach up to the stars, those glittering celebrities twinkling high above us in the Hollywood firmament, and bring them down to earth so that we can drag them through the mud and slime stirred up by vicious gossip columnists and slander-happy news hawks hunting for a hot item. Yes, it's time for Unsubstantiated Rumor of the Week.
Many appliance bulbs are brighter than Gregory Peck.
And now, coming to you at the request of the stars themselves, backed up by the top libel lawyers in Hollywood, here's George Pro with this week's Retraction of the Week.
Retraction. Barbara Streisand does eat butter. True, Jewish dietary law, based on the biblical injunction, thou shalt not steal a kid in his mother's milk, Exodus 23:19, requires that dairy products, such as butter, milk, and cheese, and the foods in which they are used, be eaten separately from meat products. But Orthodox Jews are not forbidden to eat butter. Miss Streisand, who is of the Jewish persuasion, has nothing against butter or any other American dairy products. She takes time out from her busy motion picture, television, and recording career to enjoy them whenever circumstances permit.
And now here's some good news about a wash day product that keeps your clothes looking Easter perfect all year long.
All of us here at the Golf Club have been enjoying your Christmas list this year. Here's one. The Edgar Winter Group, they only come out at night. Santana's new album, Welcome, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Head to the Sky. I left out Aerosmith. Mark Harmon, 73, attempted to start by Loudon Wainwright III. Johnny Mathis, I'm Coming Home. Chris Christopherson, Jesus was a Capricorn, including Why Me. And the Isley Brothers, 3 plus 3. Garfunkel's Beautiful Angel Jam, including All I Know, Chicago 6 with Just You and Me, Fresh Sly featuring Frisky, and Paul Simon's album, There Goes Raining Simon. This is Santa, coming your way from the home of the hit, Columbia Epic Teaneck and Monument Records.
These albums available wherever fine records and tapes are sold.
Like advertisers are into giving you stories these days, so here's one from People Pants. People Pants is a specialist in that casual yet dressed-up look that everyone's getting into. Since we know how to buy pants better than anyone else, we give you great-looking fabrics and fits which make them look like they're worth a lot more. For starters, our wool plaid pants are no higher than $21.
I'm Les Davis. Hey, listen, if you're going to go, go first class. WRVR in New York at 106.7 FM. Join me here weeknights at 8.
You
were talking outside about some of your high school memories.
Oh, yeah, we were
just
talking.
Incredible, because
we were just getting it. You remember the thing when the thing was to sing every other note in a song? You'd skip every other note.
Right.
You just make my mom and dad so mad.
Oh, mine too. You know, I mean, when they really got angry and they finally said something.
You say, tell it to the Bugle Corps.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten that one. Remember the song? Wasn't that.
That was Basil Fomine. Tell it to the Bugle Corps, because I ain't washing anymore.
Basil Fomine. Oh, wow. We used to listen to this, the radio, for hours. You're just hoping that they'd play a Basil Fomine record.
Yeah, well, we used to sing Basil Fomine. He ain't very clean.
Do you remember getting shooed?
Oh, yeah.
Getting shooed? You mean like if you were a guy when you wanted to date some other guy's girlfriend and you had to wait till she threw a shoe at you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you got a rep as a big blob.
Big blob.
Big blob.
Some slob.
No snob.
Some fish fry and slob. That was the real pork thing to be. A fish fry and slob.
Did we really say that? I mean, I know we did, but it sounds...
Hey, that's a real pork song. That's a real pork sky piece.
When you were really wiped out, you'd always say, wow, I'm half pork and a third of the way to China.
I thought it was I'm half porked and heading for the trapdoor factory.
Oh. Well, we always said a third of the way to China.
The trapdoor factory.
A third of the way to China.
Plenty mub.
Rub a dub.
Glub, glub, glub.
Remember how you guys used to always put a mothball in your ear to show you had a day Friday night?
And a mothball in both ears if you had one Saturday night, too?
Yeah, but if you had a date just Saturday, you'd put the mothball in your left ear. Friday was the right ear.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. Right.
Hey, how did that stuff all start anyway?
Oh, I don't know, boy, but if you didn't have a mothball in your ear by Friday, man, you'd be a divorced horse.
Yeah, he said it really kind of cruel, though, wasn't it? I mean, us girls wouldn't even look at a guy if he didn't have the mothballs.
And you had to give your date the mothball after?
Right, and we always kept them rolled up in our socks. Guys, we're always going after the girls with the one big lump in the...
but you stayed away from the ones with all the lumps in the left sock.
Yeah, they were quagmires.
Oh, quagmires. Right. Oh, yeah.
Remember how you always had to have one of those little doodads on your keychain?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean a little plastic chicken beak?
Right.
Little plastic chicken beak, and you took it and you scratched a number on your desk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My number was 306.
306. Wow. Mine was 30.
Oh, I can't remember mine.
Well, you know, anything over 200, man. I mean, that meant you were out of the rhubarb patch and pure hydraulic.
Oh, I always hated those guys that came off pure hydraulic.
Well, that's because you were 30 and they were over 200.
Yeah, but there were other ways you could be pure hydraulic. Lots of ways.
Yeah, like wearing bicycle clips around your arm. Yeah.
Eating oranges with the skin on.
Having a pair of scissors sticking out of your belt.
Knowing how to get through a door without using the knob.
You know, I used to practice that and I never could do it.
Well, that's because you weren't pure hydraulic.
Yeah, but being pure hydraulic was the way you talked, too.
Oh,
my
gosh. Real slow. No. You talked real slow.
Oh, yeah, but the real, the absolute ultra pure hydraulic guys, they never opened their mouths at all. Remember?
They.
Right.
Oh, that's it. Oh, no, too fast.
How did anybody understand them?
Well, you didn't have to understand them. They were pure hydraulic. You divorced horse.
Hey, I just thought of something. I really just thought... Remember Love Mittens?
Love Mittens.
Oh, God.
Love Mittens. Wow, that takes me back.
Yeah. A guy would buy the biggest pair of mittens he could find,
right.
Big industrial jobs mostly.
Right.
And when you went out anywhere with your steady,
right.
Both of you would put all four hands in one mitten,
right.
And walked along like that.
Right. And she kept the other one under her bed at home.
Yeah. Oh, and they were never supposed to let their mothers know.
Well, they have
And after every date, they were supposed to chew them, you know, just chew them a little. Remember that on the edges?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. They chewed them. Yeah. And then when they got all chewed up into pulp, when they got kind of just chewed out.
That's when you were supposed to get engaged.
Oh, God. I only knew one couple that ever lasted that long together.
Oh, yeah. You always broke up before it got really chewed.
Then when it was over, her best girlfriend and your best friend were supposed to take the mittens out and burn them.
And never tell where they put the ashes.
Oh, that was a very important part of it.
Wow. I remember a fight in my school this one time when this girl broke up with a guy and her girlfriend burned the mitten and all, and then she threw the ashes right in her face. Oh, I mean, she had to transfer to another school. She was so upset.
Well, why'd the girl do that?
Well, she bleeped the boyfriend.
Bleeped it? Oh, wow. That was just about the worst.
Yeah, but it happened all the time. It happened to me.
Well, I never got bleeped.
You know what I always wanted back then? More than anything else.
I know what I wanted.
Well, wait. This will really bring back some memories. I wanted torpedo shoes.
Oh, well,
torpedo shoes. I would die for a pair of black torpedo shoes.
Right. Black torpedo shoes with the rivets and the big double flange and the fender toe.
Oh, fender man, toe. Had to have a fender toe.
Right. And now you're supposed to soak them for a couple of days in mineral oil to get them looking just right. Yeah, I never got a pair, though. Yeah, I couldn't afford them.
Oh, they said they'd kill your feet if you wore them. My parents wouldn't let me have them.
Oh, I had a pair, but I was always too scared to wear them.
Well, but you never wore them. That was lumpy gravy to actually wear them.
Right. You brought them in a box to school and you kept them by your desk.
And what were you supposed to say if somebody came up and saw them?
Got a shipment of new equipment. Pick my nose. Scratch my toes.
Hey, what? This was what? This 47?
Late 47.
Early 48.
Yeah, right. Awful time. Those were awful days.
Look, there were all those radio shows.
Oh, I remember Heart Attack. Remember that? Remember the way you always introduced that show?
Oh, and now,
brace yourself for the Bowling Thrill Hour.
No. You know, he said, Heart Attack. The Bowling Thrill Hour is on Sunday.
Breathe deeply now, very deep, for you are about to experience a heart attack.
Right. Oh, wow, is that scary, man. That used to scare me to death when I was a kid listening,
It did frighten my grandmother to death. Right there in the living room, Friday night. When the guy said,
you are about to experience a heart attack.
Well, what did you do?
Well, we waited until the program was over, and then we just got her out of there.
Boy, wow. Look, imagine any TV show being able to get you that involved, huh?
Yeah, that was something.
Hey, on your uppers.
Show my scuppers.
What's for supper?
Okay, listen, I know that you three have to go and do a show. It's been fabulous. I'd like to thank Marilyn Sokol, Chris Guest, Gary Goodroll for coming by. Wait a minute, don't leave. I'm going to put on a song that's going to open a floodgate of memories. So just wait. No, just sit here and listen.
It's
fabulous.
You ever flip my...
Hear the drum, hear the feet. We're going to have a parade. Do you want to march with me? Come on, here we go. Ready, march. When you're watching a parade and you're listening to the drum and the crowd begins to shout, always hold your mother's hand. When the drums drum tum a tum as they're passing where you stand, shout, hooray, 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 but keep holding mother's hand. Listen to those marching feet, see them tramping down the street. At the end of the parade comes a feeling that is grand. You know that you're not lost because you've held your mother's hand.
Hi, this is Michael O'Donoghue again, and I just want to see if you tuned in late. We are playing a brand new Beatles song recorded together, recorded after the so-called breakup. The name of the song is Jumble. Not Jumbo, as in, big, huge, immense, but Jumble. And as I understand it, it was recorded separately. I don't think they all played together in the same studio. It was recorded in separate studios. But And then it was put together later. I mean, I think this was the way Abbey Road was done. So, you know, new Beatles song coming up. Please stay tuned.
We've been busy all year in your workshop, making goodies for every girl and boy. Bob Dylan's new album, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, with the hit Knocking on Heaven's Door, Isaac Hayes' Joy, the new Riders' Panama Red, and Neil Diamond's score for Jonathan Livingston's Seagull. Dave Mason, It's Like You Never Left, Andy Williams' Solitaire, Buddy Miles' Booger Bear, and from my Philadelphia workshop, the OJ's Ship Ahoy, and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Black and Blue. Elvin, me and Mylon on the road to freedom. Barbara Streisand and other musical instruments. Toco, Crazy Eyes, Mop the Hoople, and Loggins and Messina, full sale. Merry Christmas and a jolly good record collection to you all. From Columbia, Epic Enterprise, Philadelphia International, and Santa.
These albums available wherever fine records and tapes are sold.
It seems like advertisers are into giving you stories these days, so here's one from People Pants. People Pants is a specialist in that casual yet dressed-up look that everyone's getting into. Since we know how to buy pants better than anyone else, we give you great-looking fabrics and fits which make them look like they're worth a lot more. For starters, our wool plaid pants are no higher than $21. Team them with a $13 solid body shirt and a sweater vest for $9 and you're in business. Our solid pants are great with any one of our printed body shirts, which are sold this season for $15, now $8.99. How about a velvet suit for $75, especially when you can select the exact pant size and length you want. At People Pants, you have a money-back or credit guarantee, and you can charge your purchase to your MasterCharge or Bank AmeriCard. Where's People Pants? 2nd Avenue at 19th Street and Lexington at 89th. That's People Pants, 2nd Avenue at 19th Street or Lexington at 89th.
Audio Unlimited presents Paul Slimy.
When I think back on all the crap I slang with God's on board, it's a wonder you bought that stuff at all. Monotone, I sang in a monotone. You know me and Leo weren't good friends at all.
We repeat, you cannot make a mistake when you buy stereo equipment from Audio Unlimited. We feature almost every major brand. Audio Unlimited offers the most comprehensive buyer protection plan in the business, including a unique one-year speaker protection plan, and will meet any legitimate price quotation. Before you buy any hi-fi equipment, please visit one of the 7 locations of Audio Unlimited in Manhattan, 3rd Avenue at 28th, 3rd Avenue at 79th, 16 West 45th Street on the second floor, Hike, and 11637 Queens Boulevard, Forest Hills, 711 Port Washington Boulevard, Port Washington, and 354 Great Neck Road in Great Neck. Audio Unlimited, beware of imitations.
And now this word from the American Safety Institute. Don't leave piles of oily rags lying around. Repairmen, delivery men, and members of your family can get their feet tangled in these hazardous obstructions and trip and suffer a bad fall, resulting in serious injuries, including broken bones and concussions. Put used rags where they belong, in a locked medicine cabinet. Remember, don't be a careless person. Be a care more person.
And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour presents Laughs from the Past.
The makers of the Eversharp Chick Injector Razor are very happy that leading athletes prefer the Eversharp Chick Injector Razor. During the baseball season, all baseball players used it. And now that the baseball season's over, football players have started using it. We have in our studio Bronco Hoogenstraten, the left tackle of the Tuscaloosa Tomcats, who has this to say.
I always use anti-demolifier to keep my engine.
No, Bronco. This is the Eversharp Chick Injector Razor.
What is?
It is.
It is what?
A dollar and a quarter, complete with 20 blades. You know, push, pull, click, click.
Sorry, Chief, I had the wrong card here. For breakfast, I always eat. A heaping bowl of cornflakes.
You mean bowl of cornflakes?
Oh, yeah.
A heaping... Wait a minute, it's the wrong card. It changes blades automatically.
Cornflakes?
No, the ever sharp Schick injector razor.
Yeah, say, I heard about that. Is it any good?
Listen, Bronco.
I got you.
Wrong card, wrong card.
Good evening. I'm Roger De Swans, welcoming you to Front Row Center. The title of tonight's drama by Jean-Paul Sartre is Oui, Close, an idiomatic French expression inadequately but probably best translated as No Exit. For reasons that need not concern us here, the play, when performed in Britain, is entitled Camera Oscura. No Exit was staged for the first time at the Théâtre du Vieux Colombier, Paris, in May of 1944. It was, like the drama of Antigone by Sartre's contemporary Jean-Henri, a daring and subtle comment on the political state of Nazi-occupied France, a call to arms whose message somehow managed to elude not only the Germans, but the Vichy French themselves. But No Exit is more than a political allegory, just as its author is more than a humanist Marxist philosopher. Its characters, Garcin, the idealist journalist, the sensual Estelle, the cynical Inez, and the mysterious valet, take part in an intricate, erotic, and meaningless dance. The stately and absurd saraband of the human condition, as Sartre viewed it from the existential position he had helped formulate. The action takes place within the claustrophobic confines of a Second Empire-style drawing room, from which the characters discover, as from life, from death, from existence itself, there is no exit.
So here we are. Still, I didn't expect this.
No mirrors or windows?
The door is locked.
I can't imagine why they put us together. It doesn't make any sense.
Perhaps. And then again, perhaps not.
Why did they send you here?
Well, I ran a pacifist newspaper. Then, when the war broke out...
Oh, what does it matter? We're in hell, and no one else will come here. We'll stay in this room together, the three of us, forever and ever. For us, there is no exit.
Well, what about those two glowing red signs that say exit?
Where?
What signs?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Just those aisles, past where all those people are sitting.
Oh, those signs.
Well, sure, we can get out that way.
Well, let's go. Hey, watch it. There's about a 5-foot drop.
Want a hand?
Mm.
Here. Okay. You okay? You know, in a funny way, I'm going to miss this place.
Really? I hated it. For one thing, those hideous sofas. They're the ugliest colors I've ever seen. And for another, that statue on the mantelpiece. I certainly wouldn't have it.
This is Roger De Swans asking you to join us again next week for another classic of the contemporary theater on Front Row Center. Good night.
You are listening to the National Lampoon Radio Hour. Thank you.
very privileged to have with us in the studio today a 19-year-old perfect master. He's also a Swami, and he's only 19. And what is your name?
Craig Baker.
Right. Yes. Well, right. Could you tell us, please tell us where you come from?
I'm from Champaign, Urbana. I'm really from Urbana, but Champaign's right next to it, like Twin Cities.
It's a very beautiful city.
Oh, yeah, Indiana. It's not too bad.
Very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they are twin.
Yeah.
Now, could you tell us, please, Mr. May I call you Craig?
Yeah, call me Craig. Right, right.
Okay, Craig. Well, Mr. Craig, tell me how you became a master and why you indeed call yourself perfect.
Oh, well, one summer I needed some money for school, you know. So I decided to do this because I figured I couldn't get a job, you know, mm-hmm. because I had to cut my hair and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to become a perfect master. I get it for school mostly.
Yes, I noticed also that you're wearing white painter's overalls. It
yeah.
says Hebrew National on it. What does that mean? What is the significance of that?
Well, I paint houses too sometimes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's very much old. So in other words, this is something that's very, very new to you.
Yeah, it's pretty new, you know, but I like it, you know.
You like it?
It's a good job, yeah.
Well, please to tell me, since you are a perfect master, what mm-hmm. is, what, how do you think about, what is, how, what is, do you like drugs?
No, I don't think so, you know, because I figure, I saw a big sign one time that said, why do you think they call it dope, you know?
Mm-hmm, yes, what
and,
like?
I use Dristan.
Dristan,
you know?
Yes,
it helps clear my nasal yes. passages, I can think better.
Yes, well,
that's the only thing I use.
If you don't mind my saying, though, I saw you on a TV show about a month ago. And
you saw my TV?
I saw you on
How was it? Pretty good?
It was very good, yeah. Very illuminating. And what I remember best is you say, I can sure put that Colt 45 away.
Right,
what
well, I, you know, I say, you know, you only go around once in life. You got to grab full of gusto you can get, you know?
Get. Yes, right. Yeah. When you, yes, well.
I like Colt 45, though. I really like Colt.
Yes. Yeah. As you said on the show, it gives you a buzz. Is that what you said?
Yeah, right. I really get out of it. You
know? Well, tell me, please, Mr. Craig, what do you do for meditation, yoga? What kind of exercises do you do in the morning?
Well, I throw frisbee around.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I throw frisbee. That helps me think.
Did you ever buy silly putty?
Yeah, I used to have a silly putty.
Silly putty, very funny. Tell me what do you eat? What does the perfect master eat?
Well, you know, I figure if you get 3 squares a day, you're okay, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Get 3 good meals a day, stay away from the fatty foods.
That is true. Now, what if I am one of your disciples to mm-hmm. say that? What if, and I say to you, well, all I can afford is a devil dog. What is that to me?
Well, if that's all you got, if that's all you have the money for, I'd say eat it, you know?
Eat it, yes. Yeah. And now,
I've got about 12 or 13 disciples, huh?
You do?
Yeah.
Yes, well,
yeah.
You probably know them by name.
Oh yeah, I know mm-hmm. more.
Now, would you tell me as a perfect master, one other thing? Are you celibate?
No. See, one of the reasons I became a guru is I thought it'd be a good way to meet girls.
In other words, you meet girls.
Yeah, you meet a lot of girls in this business.
Well, how do they come up for you? What do they call you?
They come up to you. They're coming around you all the time, you know, because they think you're really great, you know, and hot stuff. So, you know, I meet him, and sometimes I don't make it with him. You know, every once in a while I do.
Tell me something else. Now, how long would you expect to go on with this?
Well, at least until I finish school.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I don't know what I'm going to do after that. Maybe I'll go into advertising or something.
Advertising.
Yeah,
very,
I think
very,
that's a good field.
Very good business. Very good.
You know?
Now, one other thing we like to know before.
Creative, you know.
It's creative. Yes, I've heard that. What tell me, please, what also is, do you perform any miracles?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to perform one today. Can you see one?
Yeah, I'd love to
see one. All right. Here, as you can see, I have this container here.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, now I'm going to open the top. Mm-hmm. Now, as you can see, this is a banana.
Banana,
I'm
yes.
going to put the banana inside.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to put this vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
Inside.
Inside this also.
And some homogenized milk inside.
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Too much.
Okay.
Right, top on.
Put the top
all right,
on.
Put it on blend, right?
Blend, right.
Okay.
Oh, it's turning around.
Yep. Not too long. Yep. There. Here, give me a cup here.
Okay.
There you go. For you.
Ooh.
Oh, for me. Actually, that's a banana smoothie.
Oh, is that a smoothie?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I thought someone was being rude when they said to me one night, may I have a sip?
Yep, help yourself. It's good stuff. It's really good. See, I figured if I turn, those solids into liquids, I think that's a miracle.
Oh, it's very good. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, it's good. Very
good. It's good. It's good stuff.
The gut is only 100.
You can't drink too much, boy. You put on some weight. You know, you get a gut, don't you?
I don't want to have no tummy on me. No.
Oh, boy.
Well, thank you very much for being with us today, Mr. Baker, and best of luck to
you. Listen, can I give a few words of wisdom?
You may.
Okay, I like to say right now, save your money, put it away for a rainy day, and, find a nice girl, settle down with her, and,
thank you very much.
Change your life, and,
thank you very much.
Clean your name.
Thank you again. Thank you very much.
The whole McKenzie family drinks improved fast-acting Boleyn 5 times a day. So many health-wise active American families are joining them, too, as we're about to hear right now.
All of us here at the North Pole have been enjoying your Christmas this year. Here's one. The Edgar Winter Group, they only come out at night. Santana's new album, Welcome, Earth, Wind and Fire, Head to the Sky. I left out Aerosmith. Mark Harmon, 73, Attempted to Start by Loudon Wainwright III. Johnny Mathis, I'm Coming Home. Chris Christopherson, Jesus Was a Capricorn, including Why Me. And the Isley Brothers, 3+3. Garth Uncles, Beautiful Angel Jam, including All I Know, Chicago 6, With Just You and Me, Fresh Fly, featuring Christian, and Paul Simon's album, There Goes Raymond Simon. This is Santa, coming your way from the home of the hit, Columbia Epic, Teaneck and Monument Records.
These albums available wherever fine records and tapes are sold.
It seems like advertisers are into giving you stories these days, so here's one from People Pants. People Pants is a specialist in that casual yet dressed-up look that everyone's getting into. Since we know how to buy pants better than anyone else, we give you great-looking fabrics and fits which make them look like they're worth a lot more. For starters, our wool plaid pants are no higher than $21. Team them with a $13 solid body shirt and a sweater vest for $9, and you're in business. Our solid pants are great with any one of our printed body shirts, which have sold this season for $15, now $8.99. How about a velvet suit for $75, especially when you can select the exact pant size and length you want? At People Pants, you have a money-back or credit guarantee, and you can charge your purchase to your MasterCharge or Bank AmeriCard. Where's People Pants? 2nd Avenue at 19th Street and Lexington at 89th. That's People Pants, 2nd Avenue at 19th Street or Lexington at 89th.
And now, as promised, a new single by the Beatles called Jumble.
Contributors to tonight's show were in alphabetical order. Michael O'Donoghue, John Belushi, Henry Beard, Ann Beats, Polly Beard, David Bloom, Christopher Cerf, Chevy Chase, Wendy Craig, Sidney Davis, Warren Dewey, Andrew Duncan, Michael Frith, Paul Ginsberg, Jerry Goodrow, Jerry Graham, Ellen Gross, Christopher Guest, Nate Herman, Bob Hoban, Judy Jacqueline, Paul Jacobs, Bruce Jed, Sean Kelly, Doug Kenny,
Bruce McCall, Mary Mitchell, Bob Perry, Alice Clayton, Marilyn Sokol, Betty Sam, Vernon Taft, Bob Fisher, George W.S. Crowe, and introducing Gracie Whitebread with Henry Morgan's wacky 1946 Eversharp Chick commercial. Needless to say, the situations portrayed in this program are purely fictitious, as are the characterizations. In closing, let me just again thank all the folks at Apple Records, and particularly Malcolm Carroll, Jim Broadhead, and Paul Klingon. Hong Kong Flying Throttle to boot.
National Lampoon Radio Hour has been brought to you by Columbia and Epic Records.
This is Ed Beach asking you to check out the goings-on here. This is WRVR in New York at 106.7 FM.